ever. Have you ever seen anything like that? We have. Have you ever seen anything like that before? It's been done here. Have you ever seen anything like that before? It can happen today. God wants it to happen today in your life and in my life. You know, it's interesting. The McDonald's, I really don't like going to McDonald's anymore because there's so much that you can buy from it. The menu's just expanded so much. And sometimes they depict, like, you get this Big Mac, like big and juicy and filled up. And they make it look like things are coming out. It's so filled up. And then when you go there, it's a little pad, two little pads with stuff sprinkled on it. Sorry, man. Sorry, McDonald's. Sorry if you like McDonald's. I'd rather go to Hungry Jack's because you get what you pay for. It may not be the best. Sorry. But McDonald's. But I want to talk about McDonald's this morning because McDonald's have a really simplified work method. They have a menu. And you can look at it. And in my day, we actually saw McDonald's come into being when they said we have the first 10,000 sold. And that was on the billboard not far from the high school that I went to. That's going way back. But it started simple. You get a hamburger, you get chips, and you get a drink. It was real simple. What people fail to realize, but they got caught up because they're hungry and they got caught up. We get caught up going to McDonald's to get something to eat. The strategy behind McDonald's is this. Everybody's going. The simple strategy behind McDonald's is this. You come in, look at the menu, you buy something, and go away. It's in and out. Why? It's because they have so many clientele, so many people just like you who were hungry with something, that wanted something to eat. And so they've got it right there, smack dab in your face. And even while you're looking at the menu, saying, you're sort of like drooling. Man, that tastes good already. And your chops are going. You haven't even paid for it yet. But the whole strategy is you go there, you buy something, and I found something else. I'm not sure if they actually do this for the purpose, but they leave the air condition on even in the wintertime. And so you eat quick because you're starting to freeze and you want to go home. Have you been there? that's the way it is. They got a good, marvelous franchise, what they've done over the decades. But, you know, God is the same way. His gospel is so simple. His gospel is so effective. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave us a menu to look at. That whosoever would believe, buy it, believe in it, should not perish, but go away having everlasting life. The simplified version is this. God gave Jesus to come in to get you and I so that we could go out when it's all over. That's God's strategy. But McDonald's didn't come up with that. God did. He spent time that he had serving people and the things that he accomplished. You know, we've got the Bible is just full and this story is so full of trying to show us the love of God and how strong it is that God wants to bring families back to him. God wants to bring sons and daughters who are lost in this world, who are hurting, who have families that are broken, who have relationships with husband or wife or children that are broken. People who are young people or older people who are caught up in all kinds of addictions, drugs, pornography, all kinds of things that have been twisted, that they're caught up and they're stuck in it. God came to bring us out of it. He came in. God starts on the inside. And when he comes on the inside, there's no devil in hell, there's no demon in hell that can stop the word and the work of God once he gets in. Because when he's in, he changes us. He changes our conditions. He begins to beat the devil. He's already won, but he begins to push the devil and his ways out of our lives, and you walk long with Christ, and all of those things begin to fall off. What you used to be stuck in sin, the hurt that you used to be stuck in, the broken family that you used to be stuck in, the hurt that you used to see on your mom's face, the hurt that was on your dad's face if he stayed there, God takes care of that. He takes care of that. You know what I love to see? The work of God. And I appreciate so much, and this is not anything contrary, but I love my son-in-law for what he is and has been over the years. If you don't mind me saying this, your dad was not there for you. But Ben has said over and over and over again, I'll not do what my dad did. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my family till hell or high water. That's the change that God can bring in a person. You see, you may not have something, you may have something that's been ripped out of you, like this paralytic. Something that's been ripped out of you that was yours. Something that was raped out of you that was yours. But God is able to bring peace, shalom, something that was shattered, something that was broken. He's able to pick the pieces up that you've been looking at. Oh my God, what a mess my life is. What a mess my family is. What a mess everything is that I touch. And he's able to put you back together again. And he's able to put all those pieces back up and not only put them back together, but give them back to you brand new. Because God loves you. God so loved that he sent Jesus in so that you and I could go out with him when he returns. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of stuff we can look at this, but I want us to camp around this story this morning. And it says here, it says, he entered a house, and immediately many gathered. You see, Jesus, they heard about Jesus even in the short time after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and water baptized. They heard about all these incredible things that they had never seen or heard anybody ever do before. And so when he entered Capernaum, he got into a house. And when they found out, you know how people are, they start sharing things. What did you hear? What did you hear? You know, just like in people in your life. Well, did you hear about Helen? Well, did you hear about Allison? Well, did you hear about and so and so? Did you hear about Michael? Da, 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 da. No, this is in a very positive way. Did you hear about Jesus? He's in Capernaum, and he's in a house. We got to go. After all we've heard about what he's doing, man, we've got to go to this place. And so all of a sudden, you see these throngs of people coming from different directions all over to this house. And they start looking around. You know, like, let's just be honest. Like, if this was the house, I got to move this because I'm going to be moving around just a little bit today, possibly laying down. I'm not sure. But if this was the house, there's the doorway there. And you know, first in, best dressed, there's no common decency. I'm in first, man. So everybody's pushing in through the doorway, and it gets filled up there. So all of a sudden, people are going around, and this probably did happen. People are going around looking in the windows for a place to go. Is this window big enough for me to crawl through? And he goes around, and he keeps on walking around like this. And so they go to the back door. And there's some that have already gone into the back door, so that space is all taken. So they try and go to the other side, and they're looking around through the windows. Come on, let's be real honest today. Let's just open our brains up for a little bit of creativity. Sorry about that, I am. There's a spot. So they jump through the window, some of them. Probably crawl through the window. So the house was packed. After the house was packed, people are still coming. I mean, how much can a house hold? Household? Not many. Just as much as the capacity is. So they're all looking around, and some are going around again, and they stop at the windows. At least they can look in and hear something. So they go to the back door. They stay at the back door as well and hear stuff. The other window, I'm not sure how many windows they had, but it was packed on the inside. It was packed. It says many. When the Jews, people say many, there's a lot. There's many who came to the house to see Jesus and to hear what he had to say and to see what he was about to do. So all of a sudden, you know, in the story, we see that there are four men who have a friend that's a paralytic. He's crippled. The only thing he can do is lay on a mat. Everything that he needs, he has to be catered for by those who would be faithful enough to stay around and take care of him. He had daycare. He had night care. But those people were good to him. But they heard that Jesus was in Capernaum and he was in a house. We've got to go there. We've got to get you there. Well, what is this guy going to say? I don't want to go. He has no choice, does he? Because he just lays there. These guys had faith to bring him there. He might have had faith. I'm not saying he didn't. Maybe at first he says, well, I don't want to go because I just don't, you know. I don't know what's going to happen. I was born this way. Just something happened. And all of a sudden, you see these guys that have the faith to say to each other, we're going to go. We're going to take our friend to this house in Capernaum where Jesus is. So they get down and they get the stretcher. I'm not sure how big this guy was, but they get the stretcher. And it says that I'm not sure how far away it was where they were, how far they had to walk. But faithful is the friend and the friends that this guy had. So they started walking. You know, if he was big, I don't know. He might have been big because people who are on stretchers and paralytics, sometimes they do gain weight because they can't do anything. So they're going around and they're walking and they keep on walking around. And faithful are those friends of his, and they're going around, and they keep on walking, and man, they're starting to perspire a little bit, and their hands are starting to feel like the weight of this man on the stretcher that he's in, and so they have to put, let's just stop right here. Whew. Have you ever done that? I'm getting to a point. Man, this is hard, but We've got to get him there. Okay, we've rested enough. So they get the stretches again, and they start walking with this fella. And the farther they walk, the more tired they get. You getting the point? You'll see it in a second. They keep on walking, and all of a sudden, we got to stop here again, man. Man, you are heavy. And they stop here, and faithful? We got to take a break, man. Let's just take a breather. And they might be huffing and puffing because, you know, Jerusalem is up and down, too. They got windy streets and the whole lot in Capernaum. And so they rest there for a while, and all of a sudden they pick the stretcher up with this guy, and they're almost physically ready to give up. Rick and I did some work at my house with a wheelbarrow, putting dirt in our retainer wall. It's hard, wasn't it? You were puffing, and I was puffing. And this guy weighed more than the wheelbarrow. So, it's all filled up. We can't get in there. Put this guy down. Wait, just wait here. So they sent one of the guys around, and he's looking around through the windows again. They're all filled up, and there's people standing around the windows. Go in the back door. There's people around the back door. On the inside, there's no way in. All of a sudden, there's people all around the building, packed with people inside and out. And they're a little ways from the house because there's so many people. Okay. They needed a thinker. Maybe someone on the outside said something, I don't know, in the crowd. Ah. I love when people get ideas, man. I love ideas. There's a roof. Ain't nobody up there. Okay, throw the rope up. They go up there and they start. And the roofs that they had many times were made out of twigs and branches and clay and mud and stuff like that. So they get up there and they start taking these twigs and the branches and the clay. Maybe we better not do it right here, because if Jesus isn't here, we're going to make a hole in the wrong place. So they start going around on the roof, and they go down and can't hear anything there. Do you think they did this? I dare say. They probably saw where Jesus was. I think he's a little bit further back when we saw, right about in the middle, I think, because the crowds were there. Yeah. Lo and behold, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you nor... He's there. He's right there. I can hear him talking. So they go back where they were to the stretcher. And the guys up on top were taking things away to make a hole. And then all of a sudden, this guy on the stretcher is looking up at him. And you're not really, are you? He's laying down flat. And you're going to put me on top of that roof? Yes. By faith, you need to be healed. God will heal you. So all of a sudden they get the mat up and they sort of bind him up a little bit so he doesn't slide out when they're lifting him up to put up on the roof. And up on the roof he goes, to the point where when they saw the spot where Jesus was, they started again to make the hole, to find the hole where so they can get this thing wide enough and all this. And while they're doing that, all of a sudden, you got to be just a little bit clear in for your common sense. All of a sudden, where Jesus was and some of the people around Jesus, a little bit of clay falling, dust, leaves, a couple of twigs falling. That's what camping is all about. Let's take our time and look at the story. They looked up, and all of a sudden, these guys, they get the hole. Hi, Jesus, we're here. We've got a fellow up here that needs healing. Did Jesus get mad? No. Come on, bring him down. Let him down. So they get this guy down, and they let him right near Jesus. Do you know something about the guys that brought him? Thank God for people when you've done it, where you were carrying the burdens of other people. They were carrying this man. He was a burden to them, but they loved him, and they cared for him enough to bring him all that way, to care for him all that time. And they cared for him enough to bring him all that distance, and then on top of that, dig a hole in the roof and put him up on the roof and right smack down to Jesus. You know what that says to me? There are people in my life that I love, that are leaning on me for help. There are people in your life that are leaning on you for help, but you're not their savior. You can only carry them so long, and you'll get tired. Those guys were tired, but they were expecting something. Jesus let those guys let that paralytic down in the feet of Jesus. Then it started. All that he was talking about, all the power and the glory of his heavenly Father, whatever he was preaching, that was the gospel he was preaching, and the ears were open, hearing things. But they also had the religious people there. You know, certain denominational people that were there, of religions that were there. So what did Jesus say? He said, son, he looked at him. Now, here's a guy laying down. I don't want to lay down. Who is a young person here? Zoe, just come up here. Don't say no. I'll come back there and grab you up. I didn't mean to pick you today, but you're the only one that's close that I can see. You just lay down here. This is the paralytic. Jesus is standing, or he was sitting. And he's looking and he says, your sins are forgiven. Oh, you're the paralytic. Yeah, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. You're the paralytic. Praise God. My Father's going to do something today. You're the paralytic. I'm Jesus, God's going to heal you today. Your sins are forgiven. As soon as the religious people heard that, you notice it didn't say anybody else. As soon as the religious people heard that, they started sparking up. Who does he think he is saying that he can forgive sins? Only God is able to forgive sins. Where did he start? Was he healed on the outside? Jesus said, your sins on the inside, you're forgiven. That's where the healing takes place, not on the outside. It starts on the inside and works out. Your sins are forgiven. With all the commotion that was going on, with all the dissension of the clamor that all the religious people were bringing up to try to confuse the crowd as well, to let them see that this man is the so-called Jesus, is saying that he's God, and we've got this paralytic on the floor, and he's saying your sins are forgiven. Well, he says what Jesus said in reply to them. Always has an answer. So when you ask Jesus a question, you're going to get an answer. Always. But it may not be what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. They needed to hear this. What is easier, for this man to have his sins forgiven or to be healed? And they thought about it. Got pretty quiet in there too, I dare say, after that one. He says, son, you're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Rise up. Roll your bag up. Get up and roll your bag up. Just pretend you got your stuff there. Roll it up. Wait, just roll it up. And then go back to your seat. Let's give her a hand clap. Can you imagine what the people would have been looking, how they've been looking? Like, in disdain, the religious people would have been going, again. Who does he think? And they're all trapped up, but they fail to realize that they had things over their eyes that stopped them from seeing. The religious things over their eyes stopped them from seeing the miracle, the actual miracle. Whereas the other people were going, oh my God, did you see that? Cherry, did you see that? That man that was paralyzed, let through the roof, those guys brought him all that way. He walked out with his mat. Oh man, what a meeting we're going to have tonight. Praise God. That's how God is. You know, you could say amen if you want. Yeah, we need to give God glory, man. Praise God. Because he's still in the miracle business. God's a miracle worker. He caused the water to be made into wine. I like Rance Allen, that big black fellow that sings. He just put his hand over the pitchers of water and made wine, the best wine, for the wedding. He caused Lazarus to rise from the dead. He caused other things to take place that you could only put it down to being a miracle. But you know something? One of the main things that Rance Allen says, and this is where we have to see ourselves too. He says, and I heard about another miracle, and I looked in the mirror, and I saw another miracle looking back at me. You're God's miracle too. So be encouraged this morning. You're God's miracle. You're God's miracle. I'm God's miracle. God is so good. And so, you know, what do we see here? We see that the last verse, actually, it's incredible. Verse 9 says, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk. Again, just to reemphasize, the outside, yeah, it is important. But the inside is where all the muck is where all the sin infestation is that causes the outside to do and to become what it's becoming. That it's the sin on the inside when we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We don't have any power or authority over the devil or over demons. So he wheelbarrows over us. And he thrashes everything at us. Because he knows without Christ in us, we're dead meat. But I want to say to you, Jesus said in John 10:10, my words are spirit and they are life. No, I'm sorry. That's John 6:63. My words are spirit and they are life. And he said in John 10:10, he says, I am the great shepherd in a sense. He says, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. What was he talking about? Just life on the outside, feeling good, strength of body, strength of mind. Goes beyond your strength of body and mind. Strength of spirit, strength of soul. When that's healed, your outside comes into the process of healing. What about my family? What about my other members? I tell you something, when you get a healed person where God has done something, and I say this not just even when they get saved, especially when they are saved and they've accepted Jesus into their hearts. It's a glorious, powerful work because he's raised them from a position of no authority and no life to authority and all life through God. And that same person that had problems in their family with their family members, dysfunction, whatever the problems might be, or in that person's own life, all that is done away with, and they actually become a light unto their family. That's King James Version, a light to their family. You've become, if you're born again, you've become a light to your family. And they're looking at you, and they're watching about this Jesus in your life. But we knew what that person was like. I knew what he was like. I knew what she was like. We always seem, don't we? Isn't it true? We always seem to hold people back where we saw them before they were changing. I've done it, but I stopped doing it. Because in my life, Jesus saw me at the low points. And Jesus saw me at the low points finished as his son. He saw his spirit working in me, his word working in me, whereas other people back then saw what was going on with all the warts and everything and all the garbage. And they, every time they see me, that's where they see me. But I ain't there no more. And you're not there either anymore. Because God has changed. Just like he told that paralytic, he says, rise up, roll up your bed, and go home. Why did he tell him to go home? Because he had something to eat. Now he had to go home and share the gospel with his family, whole as he was. Praise God. So it's so important we look at these things, you know, and it says at the end, it says here in verse 12, he says, immediately this guy rose up, took the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. They all saw it. And so what happened? What transpired from him going out? And no wonder, what Jesus says was very powerful. They would say today is very psychological, because the man who couldn't walk, that was paralyzed, got up, rolled his mat up, that it was often, in fact, all the time on it, except to relieve himself and eat and whatever else. He got up, and he walked out in front of them all. Testimony as unto the power of God, including the religious bunch that were there. You may have people who are criticizing you because you're in a church like this. You may have people who are criticizing you no matter what church you're going to, because the world today does not, most people today do not believe in Jesus. And we live in a quote-unquote Christian nation. Yes, they've heard about Jesus. I don't see this room filled up, packed out, and people on the outside. Nor do I see any other large church the same. Go to Hillsong today, there's no people standing on the outside. They're all inside. There's a lot more people who live in the neighborhoods and in the suburbs that are not there. Most people do not believe, and when I say believe, trust in, rely on, and lean on Jesus as their Savior. You're here this morning not because of force or coercion. You're here today, and maybe you didn't feel like coming out today because it's so cold. But you're here today because your faith in Christ brought you. I can be doing other things, laying in bed, sucking up a hot coffee or tea. But no, you came out today. I like Milo sometimes. And boy, yes, you ought to see my granddaughters, man, eating up Milo. Little Zoe, we got to stop her. But she's not little anymore. We have to stop her from putting too much in. But that's okay. But it says here, immediately he arose, took up the bed. He went out in the presence of them all so that all were amazed and glorified, saying, we never saw anything like this before. You know, there are things that Satan has set up for each of our lives. There's things that Satan set up for my life. There are things that Satan set up for my wife's life. There are things that Satan set up for each of our lives, no matter how young or how old we are. No matter if we believe in Christ or not, that God has already made a plan for each of our lives. And that plan is only found when you accept Jesus in your heart. Whether you're 3 years old or four, or whether you're 103 or 104, doesn't make any difference. There's always room for one more at the cross of Jesus. But Satan has set up and he's designed things for each of us during the course, because life is progressive. We keep on going forward. And there's things that Satan has set up. God already has his plan set up. Point A, God has a plan for each of our lives. But what Satan has done, he tailor makes things to cause us to trip on our walk through life. It could be weaknesses in your life. It could be things that happen in your family structure that become dysfunctional, that cause a breakdown of things to happen in the family where you can't see straight anymore and you really don't know what a family is all about. And so therefore, many people say, I will not get married. I will just sleep around. I don't want any commitment because I don't want to go through what I went through. And if I ever had kids, I don't want them to go through what I went through. God is able to heal that stuff and take those pieces up, make you brand spanking new, and cause also the members of your family to see you, something in you. What is that something? It's Christ that you saw, that you let in, that began to change you from the inside out, is able to do the same thing for them. That's what they're looking at you sometimes for. And there's instant, friends, we don't know. We really don't know what happened in past times to children, through religious organizations, not only religious organizations, through institutions that were set up to help and to keep and to hold and to keep those degenerate, retarded, and whoever else they were, unsociables in a place so they could not get out, and the treatments that they would go through, and the minds that were wasted, and the lives that were destroyed. That's only one aspect. There are people walking on the streets today that are in the same predicament. There's wonderful, good-looking ladies, beautiful-looking ladies out there that are in their heads, they're heading up their business, the CEO. There are very handsome men out there that have put on a facade. They're the head of their business, or they're a head of the restaurant, or they're doing this, or they, and what do they do? Just what you and I used to do when before we found Jesus. Put a little bit of makeup on, whatever that is for the ladies. You know, those long eyelashes, bit of mascara. Put the smell on. You know, do your hair up real cool, real beautiful. Get on that nice dress, that business dress or whatever kind of dress, whatever your outfit is for your CEO or whatever you do during the day or school teacher. And you put on a facade of an emptiness, covering the emptiness that's inside. They cover up. It's like putting on, it's like wrapping up an empty box with real nice wrapping paper and a bow on the outside. It's empty on the inside. But what Jesus does, he works from the inside out. And he causes those things that were taken away from us, those hurts that we still got in there, he takes those out and he puts new things in that are from heaven. not of this planet, not the things that the world is throwing at us, not the things that life is trying to put in and pump in through this, through these eyes and through our ears and through the sensations of technology today. No, Jesus already had the plan for our technology today. He goes past that. For God is all wisdom and all knowledge. That's where that came from. But he uses it for the perfect. He uses that in perfection to bring about what he has made unto perfect, to bring them to unto perfection. So I'm not going to go on anymore, but if you're in a place this morning, first of all, if you're not, you've never, I think most of us are born again here, maybe you do need to commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ again. I don't know. Your heart. There's a falling away of the heart of people today, and this has been so on my heart. I'm not talking about, well, I can't overcome. I can't overcome this sin. I can't seem to get over it. Get over it. How do you do it? Just believe that Jesus, you don't have to perform for Jesus. He's already wiped and canceled out the sin over your life. He just wants you. Jesus just wants you because he does it. Jesus said it to those people, and Jesus did it for that man. He forgave the man's sin. Well, sin is those things that cause us to go backward away from God. Your sins are forgiven. Rise up. God wants people to rise up. God wants you, if you're here today, you've been away from Jesus, to rise up in your faith, your most holy faith unto God. God is about to do the breakthroughs in your life. You're that close to it. I'm that close to it. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart simply by saying, Lord, I'm a sinner, can you forgive me of my sins? The way you forgave that paralytic on the floor, can you forgive me of my sins and ask him to come in and wash you and come in as King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your life? Praise God. Are we able to sing that last, the second song that you sang, Ben? If that's you this morning, if you need prayer for maybe recommitting your life to the Lord, you've slipped away, or maybe you've just lost the flame and you're down to a smoldering wick, so to speak, God's not going to let you out. God's after you today. He's after you more than a cop, more than a policeman. He's after you because he loves you. And if you've never made a commitment to Jesus and you want to accept him into your life, I want to stay here for a couple of minutes. If you need prayer for anything, I want to pray with you today. But if you want to even spend time by yourself, just let me know and I'll just pass you by. But let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ this morning on a high note. He is here to set us free. He is here to work on the inside out. Amen.
You heard my cry.
young niece, Tatiana. Hey, got it again tonight. Make her feel at home. And again, I just, if you need prayer, I'll be up here with you praying for you. Thanks.
Thank you.